Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Square Ball Weekly Roundup. Dan here with Michael in a remote location. I think he's under a volcano somewhere. You're in Wales, Michael, aren't you?
I am.
Helping to heal the Welsh people after their exit in the Euros penalties to Poland. But we'll get to that in a minute or two. Rob's here as well. Yeah, this is the Weekly Roundup brought to you with Levi Solicitors. Are you capable of still doing it from that distance, Michael?
I suppose so. I mean, I'm doing this on my phone, so I'm doing it without any notes. So, right. Will's probate conveyancing.
Yep.
Any good for you? Dispute resolution, the commercial, the property, your personal injury, professional negligence, the other legal services.
LeviSolicitors.co. Passable. LeviSolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. 10% discount on your legal fees. Yep. So slightly abridged weekly roundup this time. We'll round up the international stuff. We're going to preview the Easter fixtures with Phil because he knows how to talk about football, doesn't he? So we can round up the stuff that has happened. Yeah, Wales beat Finland in the Euro knockouts and then lost to Poland on penalties. The crucial detail from a Leeds point of view is Dan James, who missed the vital penalty. And Robert, you mentioned this in the Daily Email, didn't you, that's gone out to members. There's a screen grab you've got of his sad little face just before his penalty had to be taken.
That was before he took his penalty. Yeah. But that was...
He looks haunted. I hadn't seen any of this. I missed all this.
Yeah, it was really horrible. Because that was the thing. Once it went to penalties, you thought, oh, one of the Leeds players is going to have to take a penalty here. And yeah, I think it was after Nico Williams scored the fourth. So it was 4-4 on penalties. Nobody had missed the penalties. And yeah, the camera panned across the Wales team and you could see who'd obviously taken their penalty. Ben Davies was sort of exhaling. Harry Wilson was G'ing up the crowd. Kiefer Moore was basically laughing. And then it showed you Dan James, who looked like he'd seen a ghost. And you thought, oh no, he's next.
Yeah. Michael, how are things in Wales now? They've settled down? Have the tears ceased?
Seem to have recovered. I did watch it actually. When I switched it on, the kids got to bed and everything. And I put on extra time. Which I have to say wasn't one of the more... I watched the second half of England-Brazil and the second half of... an extra time of the Wales game, so I've been absolutely bored to tears watching football while I've been away. But yeah, I had similar feelings, I have to say. When I saw Dan James stepping up, I was like... I know composure's not generally been his greatest strength, has it, over the years? And I feel like a penalty, you've got a lot of time to think and it's just not really his game.
Don't think, just do.
Yeah, pretty much. But... He'll bounce back, won't he? Dan James come back from some difficult situations before, haven't we? So the fact he's still at Leeds and still doing so well this year is kind of testament to his powers of recovery, I guess.
It does lessen somewhat our interest in the Euros this summer because, you know, while I am very much English and will support England, I had zero interest in the stuff that happened through this last midweek, mainly because I was off in France chasing Marcelo Bielsa, but that's a story for a different day. Yeah, Scotland and England have both qualified. Do we have any representatives within there? Liam Cooper, obviously, Scotland, he played in their game against Northern Ireland. That was a friendly, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. He's, as things stand, I think he's likely to be the only Leeds representative at the Euros this summer. And even then, will his contract have expired by then?
Yes.
Potentially. So, yeah, slim pickings, really. We needed Matthias Klich in that Poland squad, but unfortunately not. But yeah, Scotland lost to Northern Ireland, they managed to lose to a team that had 18% possession and one shot on target, which is good going.
Feels on brand from a Leeds perspective,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so. It wasn't Cooper's fault, I don't think, to be fair.
Conor Roberts getting injured was the other thing that didn't look particularly good.
Although we've got a perfectly capable right back in Archie, because I think he played one of the games for the England under-21s at right back, didn't he? He played both their games, came off the bench in the first one.
He scored in that one.
Yeah, it was 5-1 against Azerbaijan, an away fixture, and then he started at right back in a 7-0 home win against Luxembourg, which is played in Bolton, that one. Do you know what the name of Bolton Stadium is now, Michael? We've got it on the sheet, but you don't have the notes, do you? So
the Bolton Stadium?
Nope. Much more fun than that.
I thought that maybe they'd not got sponsors, so they just like called it the place. Or a bit like the Home Bargain Stadium.
You're not far wrong, actually. It's the Tough Sheet Stadium.
Oh, nice. Oh, I have heard this, actually, because obviously it sounds very good, doesn't it?
It's a building materials supplier, by the looks of it.
It's the Tough Sheet Community Stadium, actually.
Is it?
So they've obviously got a nice community around those.
What did I say?
You just said Tough Sheet.
Ah, Tough Sheet.
Don't miss the community bit out.
Yeah, that's the important bit, yeah. And then, yeah, Nonto started both Italy under 21 games. There was Latvia and Turkey both at home. Spain beat Belgium with an 88th minute winner from Matteo Joseph. Little turncoat bastard.
Emil Heskey would be disgusted.
Could still get in the main squad. He could be a Leeds interest if he can. There's a horrific run of injuries for Spanish forwards. I mean, are we hoping for that?
Well, the game there was played in the stadium in Almeria, which is, I'm going to give you another guess now then, Michael. So if you were going to create a knockoff Red Bull product, what would you call it? And that's the name of the stadium. They sponsor the stadium.
Oh, Red Bull. I already know about the Thunder one. Is that Aldi Thunder? You're going to go blue, not blue cow. That doesn't sound very energetic, does it?
Blue cow.
Crimson pig.
No, it's, I'll give you a clue. Think of the Ferrari logo.
Horse?
Yep.
Red horse?
No, nearly. It's the Power Horse Stadium.
Oh, nice.
Which is, yeah, it's another taurine-filled shit drink anyway. There's that. You see any of the stuff in CONCACAF? USA beat Jamaica after extra time. They were 1-0 down after the first minute and then equalised and they're really, really, really late on.
It was the last kick of the game and it was an own goal from the corner. They really got through by the skin of their teeth. It was good, actually, because Jesse Marsh is the pundit on all the USA games and there's some really low-level beef developing between him and Berhalter. It was ahead of the international break. Jesse was sort of saying there was more risk in calling up Tyler Adams than reward, which I found ironic given Jesse brought Rodrigo on Atkinson for what, 20 minutes when Leeds were 3-0 up and said he wanted to see Rodrigo and Bamford play together and then took Bamford off 5 minutes later. But then he was also questioning Gio Reyna's inclusion in the squad, and it was Reyna who came off the bench to set up the two goals in extra time that gave USA the win over Jamaica. And then Berhalter went into his press conference and I think the first thing he said was, oh, did you know there was someone who was questioning whether Reyna should even be in this team?
Oh, which, the stirring little git.
Very nice.
Yeah. I love that. And then they beat Mexico in what looked like a pretty feisty affair for the States. You see Tyler Adams accidentally scored a worldie with McKennie getting an accidental assist from the corner.
Were these actually accidental or were we just refusing to give him credit?
It looked accidental to me. I mean, he absolutely thumped into the top corner from about 35 yards out. I think he just mishit it.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Jesse did say on that one that Tyler Adams has hit 1,000 shots and has never hit one like that in his life. So it was a fluke, I would say.
And what else have we got? Dominican Republic, Junior, lost to Peru 4-1. FOTMOB have scored him a reasonably healthy 6.5 out of 10, considering they got a pasting. The game actually statistically looked quite even.
I did watch the highlights on that. And Firpo, again, wasn't to blame on any of them, which was nice. The keeper had an absolute mare. Albeit in the second half highlights, I was trying to work out where Firpo was because he certainly wasn't at left back. But he seems to have been playing central midfield. But whether that was by design or whether that was just Junior being his false three, it was hard to tell.
He seems to be playing like on the left-hand side of a four across midfield almost, like some sort
like
of
a wing back.
Yeah, five at the back, kind of wing backy type thing.
He's like the their Gareth Bale, isn't he? And he should just have a free role. He's, when you've got someone of that standard, starts as a left back, but then you obviously move further up the pitch, don't you? Play wherever you can.
And that's what he does for Leeds.
He does do that for Leeds. If you had any loyalty, you would have not spent your international break faffing around trying to find Bielsa, but going to support a current player. Go see Firpo.
Yeah, I didn't have the availability for flights to Peru. That was all.
Fair enough.
But no, it was a bit easier getting to Lawns. It was nice to see Marcelo, even though the game was absolutely terrible. There were like 9,000 people there. It was raining. I was drunk. I didn't eat the whole time that I was in France. But I will do a separate episode on this because it was a fun little adventure. Totally absurd and pointless, but better for it.
It's sounding kind of like a Leeds League Cup game of the, I don't know, like early to mid 2000s. Is that just empty, drunk? Why is everyone here?
Yep.
Terrible standard. Peter Sweeney probably playing.
It felt like a pre-season friendly, yeah, because obviously at this stage of the season, none of the players are wanting to get injured. Like, I realised like halfway through the first half, I hadn't really paid much attention to who was playing because Max Gradle retired, didn't he, from Ivory Coast? And we did the episode on Max actually earlier this week. So but he retired in the previous game, so he wasn't featuring in this one. So I missed out on that aspect of it as well, which was annoying. And I tried to have a conversation with a French Ivorian who was sat next to me. I said, "Où est Max Gradle ce soir? Is he?" I think I started using, you know, Google Translate to form sentences like, "Is he injured?" But I didn't realize he'd actually retired the previous game. But then I saw the photos like yesterday. Like, oh yeah, he wasn't playing because he's already packed it in. But yeah, it was a terrible game. Like Bentancur was playing. I realized, oh, I recognize him off the telly. But as for the rest of them, I didn't really pay any heed. But it was an awful game. Nobody was trying.
Did you see Bielsa in the previous friendly against Uruguay playing like the Basque country? So he was back in Bilbao.
Yes.
And I don't think it was like a FIFA recognized fixture. So they it was kind of Sunday league. They had to agree between the managers how many subs they were allowed to make. And I think they'd agreed on 5. And then the Basque country manager was making a 6th. And Bielsa sort of had an argument with him. And then I think the Basque country ended up making about 9 subs. But Bielsa, being the honourable man he stuck to 5. But the fourth official was trying to sort of hold off on the subs before the other player came off the pitch. And Bielsa just ignored him and pushed his player on the pitch. Like, fuck this guy, get on there.
But they had I think they had a proper FIFA referee, didn't they? So I think Bielsa was he arguing that they should have abided by FIFA rules, even though it wasn't a FIFA sanctioned game.
But it's the code of honour with him, isn't it?
He's a stickler for it. I thought it was really interesting. So I spent my time in Lawns with James Rowlands, who's the pilot who's befriended Marcelo. And they are genuinely friends now. Like, they converse all the time. And I just got a little glimpse into Marcelo's world and what he's like as a person and some of the stuff that happened around him leaving Leeds. And it's not all for going on a show. Some of it should remain private for, like, you know, confidentiality's sake and upholding principles and that. But it was fascinating to hear a little bit about what he's like as a manager and a man. What I do know is from speaking to James is that Marcelo has an equal amount of fun trying to say the word Leicester as he did with Ipswich back in the day. Like Chester is how it came out, bless him.
It's a stupid spelling, in fairness. They should change it. L-E-S-T-A, yeah. That'd be an obvious way of doing it.
Is that not just how it's spelled?
Keep it shorter, keep it obvious. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, well, I thought we should do an episode about it, just the silliness of trying to get to Lawns on a rainy Tuesday for no obvious reason other than to go see Marcelo Bielsa. But I got a little wave off him and that's all that matters. That's all that matters.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
We did hear from Stuart Dallas, didn't we, around that Scotland-Northern Ireland game. He was there as a pundit. And again, Rob, you've got some of the quotes here that went into the Daily Email this week.
Yeah, just... is it the first time we've heard from him since his injury? I can't think of many...
I think in any meaningful sense.
Yeah, and obviously he's talked about, just as you'd expect, how horrible the last 2 years have sounded. And to be fair to him, he tries to be as positive as possible. And he's kind of saying that he's not ready to... call it a day yet, and he's not questioning that yet, but he does say his big aim is to earn a new deal at Leeds, which, I don't know, seems optimistic of him, to be fair, but you just want to see him get back out there, don't you, at this point now. It's it must have been pretty awful for him.
It feels like it's heading towards sort of a three-way farewell, doesn't it, of him and Cooper and Ayling at some point in the summer. I don't know about you, do you perceive it that way?
I think Dallas's best chance of staying probably is if we stay down and he's still recovering, because then we might give him a year on like a almost like a retainer sort of thing, so we can keep him, let him, give him and use the facilities and all that sort of stuff. But it's been so long, hasn't it, since we saw him play? It feels like a completely different. He's like skipped an era of Leeds almost, hasn't he? Yeah, I'd like to see him get a contract somewhere, because I feel like he's the sort of player who can probably adapt his game to play, even if at a lower level, he'll end up playing like centre mid in like League Two or something, but for another 5 years if he can get himself fit, because he just, I get the feeling he just likes playing football and will do it at whatever level he can.
And we know from like our experiences of, you know, hearing from Adam Forshaw that being out of action when you're a footballer, particularly like at this stage of your career, is just, it must be hideous. And the extent of the injury is such that, I mean, imagine just as you know, me and you, as a man in the street trying to recover from the injury that you had, but then also getting up to professional football standards of fitness to try and run around and do that again. It's, you can tell why it's taken 2 years. And as he mentioned, actually, he mentioned he's had setbacks along the way.
I mean, yeah, he's talking about hoping to be back before the end of the season, but I feel like we heard that at the end of last season. So it's just one of those things. Farke was talking about in his presser yesterday, saying it just takes as long as it takes. But I mean, Adam Forshaw was having his teeth taken out to cure a hip injury. So it doesn't sound fun being injured for that long.
Injuries wise as well, we know that Routier had his hernia surgery and it looks like he could be back in time for the Watford Hull games. Did you see the clip that was doing the rounds on Twitter/X that a fan kind of accosted him when he was walking through the middle of town, and I think secretly filmed him just having a bit of fun, and he said he was back in full training, I think today, Thursday. So fingers crossed that he's available for that. And I think he also called Leicester shit as well and said Leeds are going up.
Good lad, good lad. I didn't know he'd done that. Were the basketball clips filmed a while ago? Because that's about all I've seen. Is the he was involved in that, wasn't he? But I'm guessing that was pre-surgery. It would seem reckless to have him playing basketball within like before he's properly training.
Did you see the new basketball tops that went on sale as well? That the club merch are doing? Was it 95 quid? Will you be buying that, Michael?
Oh, I'm just waiting for him to come down at 20 quid like the shirts.
I was going to say, we both went straight round to the club shop, didn't we? As soon as we crossed that magical £20 threshold, me and you both went in the cars separately because we can't travel together. Like, you know, the American president and vice president, we can't travel together. And we went round to the shop and we kind of passed each other on the way in and out, didn't we? Like a bag full of shirts you had and I got all three as well. But 18 quid a shirt, I mean, you can't fault it, can you, when you got your season ticket discount?
It's all right. I think it feels about right to me, does that? The thing is, when you know something's going to be reduced as well, I'm going to wait. I'm just not like I'm a kid who's going to wear them every day and wants the latest thing. I'm quite happy to look out of date.
Yeah, and I think I just want them from the perspective that it might be a memorable season, this one. It could be awful and we might want to set fire to them afterwards, but it feels like less of a risk, doesn't it, when you've picked up all three for cheaper than it would have been to buy one shirt back in August.
They'll be on classic football shirts in no time, like, just waiting for it.
Yep.
The price to go back up.
Yeah, get that pink one on eBay.
Yeah, for making the effigies at the end of the season when we've got some scapegoats. Absolutely ideal.
Right then. Anything to add then before we sign off from this one? We can keep it brief today, so we're just rounding up the international break. Anything else that we haven't mentioned? I haven't mentioned Gruev as well. He played, didn't he, a couple of times for Bulgaria. But I think he got brought off at half time in the second one. Hopefully he's come through that unscathed.
Well, he's injured a bit as well.
Oh, is he?
As Farke was saying in his press conference yesterday, I don't think it's bad. He needs to be assessed ahead of Watford. I think he's got an ankle problem. Likewise, Willie has hurt his hamstring slightly. So Farke was saying it's good that Archie Gray can play right back and centre midfield, because
he can do both.
I think he's going to have to do both on Friday night, yeah.
That's a bit unfortunate, isn't it? Yeah, I missed all this, it's probably for the best. That would have worried me. I do wonder with some of this, did you see that, what Farke said about Leicester? He expects Leicester to pick up points in their game in hand, and therefore we weren't the favourites to go up. I really liked how he did that. He handled that well.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, but just batting the ball back into their court as well. It's like, no, we're not the favourites, they are.
I'm going up though, aren't we?
You can tell you're on holiday because you've got all giddy, Michael.
I actually think we're going to, obviously this isn't for previewing the Watford game, but I have got a feeling I'm going to drop points in this one.
Right.
I don't know why. It just feels a bit like everyone coming back from internationals. We've got we've probably had the worst, in terms of all the Wales players, it's probably been the worst international break for us, hasn't it? Because it all went the distance and then they were out and everything. So I don't know. I feel like we're at a bit of a disadvantage. We've got Routier injured or coming back from injury. I don't know. It feels like if there's a game we're going to drop points, this might be it. But we'll see.
Are you coming back then, or are you just staying in Wales?
I suppose I'll come back. Get booted out of here tomorrow, Anna. So, you know.
Right.
I'll miss the sheep, though. Do you want to see some live sheep?
Yeah, go on. Although they won't be live when this goes out. And I'm not saying you're going to kill them. I'm just saying that this will obviously be recorded.
There you go. You getting a view of them?
Yep.
There you go. Countryside, that.
That means we'll have to put the explicit tags on this now, won't we? Hey?
Oh, he's frozen right on cue.
Hey.
Yeah, your camera froze just as you tried to move it then. Well, go away and enjoy the rest of your holiday with your family.
Well, I'm with the kids, and I'll try my best.
Right.
It's obviously not a relaxing holiday, is it? But, you know, I'll go and like run them about a field or something.
Are you back for the match ball then on Friday night after the Watford game?
I am.
Good lad. Right. Well, we'll see you then. See you in a bit, mate.
Bye.
We'll see you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.